Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, a podcast of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today to discuss all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm good, Parrish. Waiting for all these sports to start overlapping again. We've had a nice little break between football and basketball when those overlap. Now we're just going to get ready for baseball and basketball to overlap, and next thing you know, spring football is around the corner, so we'll have all of them.
Yeah, spring football, man, it will be here soon. I always tell Mike Bianco, the Ole Miss baseball coach, that one of my favorite events to cover every year is his preseason press conference, and we had that earlier this week at Ole Miss on Monday. And it's my favorite event because you cover that, and I just feel like spring is around the corner, and it's going to warm up, and we'll get on through the calendar. But baseball season starts this Friday across the country, and we're going to discuss that here in a little bit. Before we move on, I want to remind you about other podcasts to search for, Daily Journal Productions. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. That's coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And for all your high school sports needs, check out Prep Rally with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here with you most Thursdays, sometimes on a Friday, depending on what's going on. You never know when ESPN is going to tell State and Ole Miss to get on TV. So, that affects when we can join you, but we're here today, and we're talking a little basketball to get started. And, Logan, it's a big game for Ole Miss Saturday at Arkansas. The Rebels, basically, the way I look at it, man, they've got to win out. You know, they keep winning enough to put themselves right on the bubble in terms of NCAA tournament conversation. And they did it in dramatic fashion this past week, the last two games, both of them at the Pavilion, when they came back from 23 points down against Auburn to win, 23 points in the second half, biggest comeback in school history, and then 11 points back against LSU. Now, LSU went into that game Tuesday night 1-11 in the SEC. You know, maybe the Rebels were overlooking them a little bit, but they struggled. The LSU game was a little more of a struggle than it should have been. But Ole Miss comes away with two wins. They go to Arkansas Saturday, and the Razorbacks now coming off that big win last night at South Carolina. So that jumps Arkansas about 10 spots in the RPI. Arkansas right now is listed number 35 in the ESPN simulated RPI. Ole Miss is at number 66. The Rebels dropped a little bit by simply having LSU on the schedule. And what this team needs is a quality win. That's what the resume is really lacking. Doesn't have any big losses, but doesn't have that big quality win. And they missed an RPI opportunity at Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. Now they have another one against Arkansas, and really they need to close the deal and get the win. Ole Miss has been able to win on the road in the conference, but they are just 1-5 against the RPI top 50. And, Logan, I just figure Ole Miss, it's not just win Saturday at Arkansas. This team has to win out. I mean, if they win out, they're at best. They're going to be 12-6 in the conference if they win out. I don't see an 11-7 team having any chance of an NCAA bid beyond winning the conference tournament.
Yeah, it'd be tough. I mean, right now the SEC is not stronger. I think the SEC is getting stronger, but I don't think it's there quite yet. And, you really just don't see that many elite teams in the league right now. I mean, obviously Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky, those are your upper echelon of the SEC. And then everybody else is kind of jumbled there in the middle, and then you've got some teams like LSU that are and Missouri that are, you know, trailing the pack there, but everybody else is kind of jumbled up there in the middle. And now there'll be some separation over the next few weeks. Mississippi State's playing their way out of the conversation. They're getting closer down there towards LSU and Missouri right now. But, you know, right now there's a lot of teams from the SEC over the next couple of weeks. They could play their way into that on the bubble, on the fence type of situation. And, you know, I guess Ole Miss would be one of those teams.
Well, they've really put themselves in a difficult position because of some losses earlier this season, but the opportunity is there. They still have games in front. I think they've got to win out in the regular season to have a chance, but we'll see. It probably ends up with an NIT appearance for Ole Miss, but that remains to be seen. I'll tell you this, Logan, a couple things that have stood out the last two games for Ole Miss. Number one has been Terrence Davis. You know, I was on the radio with Head to Head earlier this week. Richard Cross asked if Terrence Davis was the best player in the open floor that I'd seen at Ole Miss. And, you know, you tend to respond yes to that when something's fresh in your mind. But I'm always careful. You know, I don't want to leave anybody out. But, man, my first thoughts are yes. I mean, he's incredible in the open floor. I do think he's the best I've seen at Ole Miss when he gets the ball and is headed to the basket in transition, or when he gets an angle, or he gets a, you know, the spacing that he needs. You know, he finishes at the rim. And I went back and just looked at some other guys at Ole Miss in recent years who have been very good in that regard. And I looked at Justin Reed, you know, who played on those good Rod Barnes teams. And then I saw, when we changed beats, on not-so-good Rod Barnes teams, outstanding athlete. And went back and looked at Ansu Cisse as well. And Terrence Davis in shooting percentage is ahead of both of those guys by several percentage points. And we're talking two-point shots right now. Davis can shoot the three, but that's not his game. He's shooting about 31.7% from three right now, and that's respectable, and that makes opponents guard him. And he was 3-for-4 from three in the second half against LSU. But where he does his best work is in the lane and finishing at the rim. And in the last two games, he's 21-for-25 in two-point shots. Inside the arc, he's 21-for-25. That's 84%, man, shooting 84% on those shots over the last two games. So Terrence Davis really playing well. But the way this Ole Miss team shoots free throws, Logan, I mean, we're talking about as a team. Sometimes you look down and you see a guy shooting 85%, and you think, man, that's really good, and it is. But Ole Miss right now, as a team, is shooting 85.1% from the free throw line over its last six games. So if Ole Miss can come back, and the knock on the Rebels right now is that they've been somewhat sluggish in the first half of games. They've fallen behind in these games, but they've managed to come back. And if they get a late lead, they're very, very hard to beat because they shoot free throws so well.
Yeah, and that's very important in today's game. I mean, there's so many fouls called. And, you know, looking at Mississippi State, I think, you know, I forget which game it was. It's within the last two or three games they've played. The other team was in the bonus at the 14-minute marker of the first half. I mean, that's how much the foul is called now. And, you know, it just becomes a free throw fest at a lot of these ball games. So if your team is a good free throw shooting team, then you've got a chance to close out some games and close them out in a hurry. I mean, some of these games are, you know, a one or two possession game towards the end, and then you look up and the final score is, you know, double digits win. So, I mean, that's how much of free throws can play out down the stretch. And, you know, for Mississippi State, they haven't been able to close out games lately. They've lost seven out of their last nine games. Had a chance in their last two ball games, Parrish. They were leading South Carolina with about 4 minutes left to go in that ball game. A ranked opponent, the top 25 team here at the hump this past Saturday, and they couldn't close it out. Ended up losing that game by 4 points, 77-73. And then you go out to Georgia. Mississippi State played exceptionally well in the first half, built a pretty good size lead, and that went away in the second half. Ended up losing that game by seven. You know, some of those free throws down the stretch played into that effect. It was a little bit closer ball game than that. But, you know, at the same time, Mississippi State is just inconsistent right now. They play well in stretches, Ben Howland is actually encouraged by the way his team's played. I mean, they're so young. They're the youngest team in the country, and they play like it at times. They also play really, really well at times. And I think that's what gives them hope for the future, that, you know, this team really can do something. They're not there yet. They've got a long way to go. But when you see those flashes from this team, you really think that maybe next year is going to be one of those years when Mississippi State's in conversation to make a postseason tournament. They really, their RPI wasn't going to be high enough this year anyway. But, you know, they're a really good ball club at times. They've got to get more consistent. You know, guys like Eric Coleman, Schneider Gerard down low, they really haven't. They'll have big games and then they'll have a lull. And, you know, Eric Coleman's been in a lull for about the last month or so. They really need more from him. Quindary Weatherspoon's kind of been up and down the last few weeks as well. He'll have a big game and he'll go scoreless. In South Carolina game, he didn't have a basket. He didn't have a point on the board until a minute and 22 seconds left to go in that ball game. They just shut him out completely. I don't know how much his wrist is bothering him. I don't think he'll ever come out and say it. I mean, obviously, he's got to still be in some type of pain with that. But at the same time, he hasn't been the same type of player over the last month. And Mississippi State needs him to be. State did get a little bit of a boost during the Georgia game this past Tuesday. We can get I.J. Reddy back on the floor. I.J. Reddy missed essentially five games. He only missed four games on the books. But, you know, he only played 2 minutes in the Alabama game. So to get him back on the floor is just going to help with the mature team, the older upperclassmen on the entire team. He just kind of brings a calm and influence to Mississippi State. And obviously, he had to knock off some rust during that ball game. Hadn't played in, you know, nearly a month. So they needed to get him back on the floor and knock some of that rust out. Maybe he'll be healthy moving forward. And the guy that battled injury kind of throughout his whole career.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit, talk some baseball. Opening day on Friday, Ole Miss will debut its number one ranked recruiting class. And Logan, they're not just going to ease these guys into it. There'll be, you know, four, it looks like, in the starting lineup and possibly another newcomer at DH. But, you know, the middle of the defense at catcher with Cooper Johnson, shortstop with Gray Kessinger, you know, two freshmen there, then Thomas Dillard in left field. And Cole Zabowski, starting at first base. So a lot of guys there, you know, who will be seeing college baseball for the first time. And, you know, maybe and even the DH here, Chase Cockrell, will be a junior college transfer. So lots of inexperience there, and they're going to start out against a top 10 opponent in East Carolina, led by Cliff Godwin, the former Ole Miss assistant. Godwin's last year was 2014, the College World Series year, and then he left to become head coach at East Carolina, his alma mater. And he had them in the Super Regional last year, just a game away from Omaha, and I believe that was against Texas Tech. Logan, is that right?
I have no idea.
I thought you might, because you got Texas Tech coming in at Starkville, don't you? Yeah, but anyway, I'm thinking it was against Texas Tech last year. But, a very solid program for Ole Miss to start the season. And then in a couple of weeks, the Rebels will be in Houston at a neutral site event where they will take on three Big 12 teams, including Baylor, number 14 Texas Tech, and also number one TCU. So, a very challenging schedule for Ole Miss early, but Mike Bianco is very confident in these freshmen, says he wouldn't put them out there if he didn't think they were ready. It's a very heralded class, and there are lots of, there's some experience coming back for Ole Miss, too, with Colby Bortles at third base, Tate Blackman, a preseason All-SEC choice at second base, and Ryan Olenek, who really excelled as a freshman last year, kind of, you know, nailed down that starting job in right field. He'll move to center field, and, you know, Will Golson from New Hope is back, and he's played a lot of positions, and he'll be in right field. So, you know, a mix of old and new, but there's going to be a lot of pressure, a lot of eyes on these number one ranked recruits early because of the the schedule they're going to face. On the mound, the Rebels will start a junior college transfer in his second year now. He was a first-year JUCO guy last year, left-hander David Parkinson. And he kind of came out of the bullpen and settled down that rotation. The rotation really changed a lot through the year for Ole Miss last year. Really had a hard time getting those spots settled, but Parkinson came on and provided some stability as the number two guy on the weekends and finished 5-3 with a 2.78 ERA. He kind of emerged as the best of six guys who were competing for the weekend spots. The other two in the rotation now will be James MacArthur, a sophomore, on Saturday, and Brady Feigl, a third-year sophomore who pitched well out of the bullpen last year, on Sunday. And the other three in the mix for those spots were freshmen. You know, three freshmen in the mix to be weekend starters, so they will go to the bullpen and probably make that pretty strong again. So a lot of excitement for this Ole Miss team right now, Logan. It's kind of all over the map in preseason rankings. Perfect Game has the Rebels at number 8. And, of course, so every news release that comes out of Ole Miss says number 8. We go by D1Baseball.com at the Daily Journal, folks. And Ole Miss is unranked in that poll because they're putting so much attention on this signing class right now. The guys over there, they tell me, are just kind of wait and see on Ole Miss. They have high expectations for this team, but they do not have them in their preseason top 25. The coaches poll at USA Today has Ole Miss at number 24. So the Rebels kind of all over the map in the preseason rankings, but a lot of excitement for this team.
Yeah, for Mississippi State, it's kind of the same situation as to why they're unranked. And some of the players are taking it. It's kind of taking a chip on the shoulder. I mean, obviously, Mississippi State was a very good team last year. We're right there on the cusp of making another trip to the College World Series. Won the SEC outright last year. First time they've done that since 1989. Problem is, Ferris, they lost 11 players to Major League Baseball off of that team. So a lot of new faces, not necessarily new faces, but guys that were kind of in fill-in roles, you know, last year are moving up into starting positions. And kind of a lot of unknown for Mississippi State. You think that those guys are going to be good, but they haven't proven it yet out there on the field. In the spotlight, so I think, you know, the D1 baseball guys are probably doing the same thing with Mississippi State as well, just waiting to see just how good some of these newcomers are going to be. But there's still some familiar names on this team. Obviously, you return a center fielder like Jake Mangum at the top of the lineup, led the SEC in hitting last season, hit .408 as a true freshman in the SEC. And you just don't see that very often, a freshman coming in and take a league by storm like that. And, yeah, they're returning him. The cool thing with Jake Mangum this year is he's actually going to pitch as well. You know, they're going to run him in from center field and throw him out there on the mound and throw him up there against lefties in the lineup. So that's going to be kind of neat to see how he transitions. I mean, he's talking to Andy Canizero. He's got a 92-mile-an-hour fastball with a pretty good slider as well. So we'll see just how he does in that role as well.
Now, didn't he pitch a little bit last year?
He did not. The last time he pitched was in high school. So C.T. Bradford was kind of the last center fielder that they brought in and did that situation with. So we'll have to see how much they use Jake Mangum. Andy Canizero said obviously his main responsibility is going to be that leadoff hitter and an everyday center fielder. So I don't think they're going to try to wear him out too much on the mound because they feel pretty good about their bullpen. That's one of the big things that they have. They think their bullpen is going to be pretty good. Ryan Rigby and some of those guys that have been there and done that. The question mark for this team right now is the starting rotation on the weekend. Connor Pilkington's back. He was their Sunday starter for Mississippi State last year and did really well in that role. He kind of assumed that role kind of at the start of SEC play and pitched really well. He's a big, tall, left-handed guy. Had a lot of velocity on his fastball. They'll move him. He'll get the first Friday start for this team. And it's kind of a question mark after that, really. If you guys vying for that spot, I should probably know later today what the rest of the weekend rotation is going to be like. The thing is, for Mississippi State, they always play those round-robin series start of the year. So they're actually going to play four games this weekend. They're going to play five games out of the next four. Let's see, five out of the next 5 days. Five games in 5 days. So, they'll get a lot of questions answered over these first few games as far as their pitching rotation and some of the position plays as well. But some guys that are vying for those weekend spots, Ryan Sear, Cole Gordon, Peyton Plumlee, Graham Ashcraft. And Graham Ashcraft is a guy that I expect to pitch really well this season. He's a guy that got a lot of money thrown at him last year coming out of the Major League Baseball draft. And turned that down, ended up coming to college. If he comes out of the bullpen, Andy Canizero says he had a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Now, when he starts, he's got to save some of that velocity. He's around 92, 93. But if he comes out of the bullpen and can kind of put everything on it, in a short stint, he can run that fastball up there around 98. So it'll be neat to see that coming out of a pitcher's hand. Around the infield, a lot of starters back, some starters moving around. Luke Alexander out of Belmont, he's going to be Mississippi State starting third baseman. Ryan Gridley's back at shortstop. Hunter Stovall, who played a little bit of second base last year, he's going to be in second base this year. And then Cole Gordon and Cody Brown are battling things out at first base. They've got some guys coming back behind the plate. Josh Lovelady is back off a knee injury. Eli Barrero is back there. And then a freshman they're really excited about, Dustin Skelton, another guy that got drafted a year ago. He's behind the plate. Andy Canizero is going to play all three catchers this weekend. So we'll get a chance to see all those guys behind the plate. I mentioned Jake Mangum in the outfield already. Brent Rooker is going to be back. He's Mississippi State power in the middle of the order. Had, I think, 11 home runs last year. Big power bat out of the right side. Big, strong kid. He'll either be playing some right field or maybe even DH in some. Tanner Poole, who's actually in our coverage area as well, he redshirted a year ago out of Hinawampa Community College. He's a very, very fast outfielder. He's a guy from Amory. And I'm excited. I've heard good things about Tanner Poole, seen him some in some scrimmages, but I'm actually excited to see him play some out there on the field. So, some guys, some names got back from Mississippi State, some new faces around. Glad to see how Mississippi State does this weekend, bringing in College World Series team in Texas Tech, and then another team, Western Illinois, this weekend, and then Morehead State comes in on Tuesday. So a lot of games in the first 5 days from Mississippi State. We'll see how they do under a new coach in Andy Canizero. I'm excited to see the change, but I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of the bunting and the throwing over to first a whole lot of times. It's a whole different baseball philosophy. I think he's going to be very, very aggressive, swing the bat type of guy, throw strikes. It's going to be a different brand of baseball this year. I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, is Canizero going to go to his bullpen? Because it sounds like it's going to be a strength. Will he go there in the second inning like Cohen did? I mean, John Cohen got to the World Series doing that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be I don't know how long the starters will last. I know I don't know how much depth they have in that bullpen. Some of that left to be determined. They like the back half of the bullpen. They think they can close out some ball games, but that middle rotation is kind of still remains to be seen as well.
Well, I tell you what, Logan, people in Mississippi get excited about college baseball every season. I think there's a little bit more excitement right now, or I sense that at Ole Miss, because I sense a fan base just eager for something exciting. You know, the football season was what it was, a big disappointment from being ranked near the top 10 in preseason, finishing 5-7, and all that went on through that season. You know, basketball has been up and down. While we talk about this team having a chance to play its way into the NCAA tournament, it does, but that's a long shot. And I think this fan base is eager for something more than average, and this baseball team might deliver that, and sounds like it could at Mississippi State as well. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. We thank you for clicking in with us, being part of the program today. We want to remind you about our other Daily Journal podcasts. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday, and Logan and I will be back with you for another round of double coverage next Thursday or Friday, one of those days, but check back with us.